This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio, where our mission is preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And one of the ways that we do this, often we will bring you an expert, someone like a Scott Klusendorf, who can help us understand the apologetics of making a case for life from philosophy and from science. And sometimes we'll have a pastoral leader who can help assure us of the theology of knowing that children who are aborted are safe in the arms of God. John MacArthur has provided such great wisdom on that question. But many times what we do here on the program is invite one person to share her story. And we can learn so much from just sharing one another's stories. So I'm really pleased to be able to introduce you to Courtney Beck, who's our guest this time out. Courtney serves as Client Services Leader for Options Pregnancy Center in Cabot, Arkansas. And Courtney, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim.
Courtney, you, like many people who are serving in pregnancy help work, have a story of your own. I mean, I know you've got lots of encouraging stories of lives saved and lives transformed, but I wanted to know how it was that you got involved in pregnancy help work. What led you to want to volunteer at Options Pregnancy Center?
Well, I am post-abortive, so when I was 16, I made the decision to have an abortion. And for the next 17 years, I did not talk about that experience at all. I couldn't say the word abortion. I couldn't admit that I had one. I couldn't even write the word down. That was just really stuck inside of me like a big splinter. And after I had my little boy when he was about two, I was having really bad depression and sadness and guilt stemming from the abortion. You know, I think I really realized what I had done. And my husband sat me down at our kitchen table one day and encouraged me to get help for that. And I did not know at all what that would look like. I didn't have a clue to go about that. And so I found out about Options Pregnancy Center and decided I would just go up there one day and offer to volunteer. I thought that would be my healing that I would receive, to go in there and help someone else make a better decision than I had made. But I received much more than I had planned. So I ended up going through post-abortive healing retreat that's offered through the center. And then after that weekend, I began volunteering there once a week and did that for 4 years. And then a part-time position came open on staff, so now I'm there on staff 3 days a week.
You know, and it's a common story, which is still very much unknown. I don't know how best to say it, but many people who think that volunteering at a pregnancy center will be the answer to the pain that they're in after abortion have no idea that they even need to be healed. Sound like that was a revelation for you too?
Yes, very much. I didn't have a clue that, well, I knew I needed healing, but I didn't have a clue how to go about that or what that would look like. I really did not have a good relationship with the Lord at that time because I was so stuck in my shame and I didn't understand the full character of God. And so going through the healing retreat offered by the pregnancy center I work at now, I really saw, you know, really who God is, and I learned about that. And during that weekend retreat that they held, I came face to face with Jesus, my Savior, and really realized who He is and that I am loved and can be forgiven, and it completely changed my life. And not only do I want to help someone on the front end when they're trying to make a decision, make that better, I also help with the post-abortive retreat now, and I want women to be healed from this. I see women walking around, you know, with the scowl on their face and the sadness, and I think, I wonder what happened to them, you know, and I wonder, are they post-abortive? And, like, there's just things I can, you know, I see this hurt in them, and I just always wonder, you know, I wonder if they need healing, and that's really what I'm set out to do now.
There's so many things that mirror my own path too, Courtney, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm really really grateful that you've opened your heart and agreed to share the story. And it's amazing to me because, as you said, you know, you couldn't say the word, you couldn't write the word abortion, and it was like a, you know, a big splinter in your spirit and your heart. And yet here you are, you know, well, I had an abortion at 16, and you just shared that on what's going to be a national radio broadcast. We're taping this conversation, but I can't, only God can do that for us. Only He can release us from that shame, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Like I said, I never thought that I would be able to talk about it. My parents didn't even know about it, and I ended up telling them. And it's been, it's just been really crazy. I never would have thought that I would be here. I mean, thinking back even 10 years ago, I would have never thought I would work for a pro-life organization or be able to help women in the way that I do. I'm definitely not equipped to do this, but I'm excited about it, and I love the Lord, and I just want to share that with women. I want them to know that they can be forgiven, and they can make a different choice in their life. And then if they have already made that choice, that they can make a choice to turn their life around again. You know, I just want to be able to help other women. And, yeah, I never would have thought I would be here. I love it. I'm grateful.
So let's talk about telling your parents. This is a barrier for people, many women, who have been through abortion healing, Bible studies, retreats, lots of different paths to healing. You'll see the resources at cradlemyheart.org. But many still say, I just can't disclose this to the people close to me. Tell me about telling your parents.
Well, I'm not sure that I really would have told them, but about 6 months, maybe 6 months after I went through the healing retreat, I was on my way to work one day to volunteer at the pregnancy center, and on the way there, it was just sort of real to me in my spirit that our executive director, Vicki Parker, was going to ask me to tell my testimony, and I was thinking, I hope she doesn't do that. I am not ready for this at all, and I'm not a public speaker at all. I'm trying to work on my speaking skills as we speak, but I never would have put myself in that role at all. I don't like to be up in front of people and things like that, but it was the craziest thing because I walked in that day and she came straight to me and asked me to speak at the banquet. It was just one of those God things. It was crazy. Like, I just started laughing. I was like, I knew you were going to ask me this today. So I realized that since I was going to go public with this, I needed to tell my parents. So it took me a couple of weeks and I was really praying about it. And one Sunday morning I was sitting in church and I sat through the whole service, worship and everything. I couldn't raise my head. I was scared to death. And I was praying that God would just give me the strength to do that. And while I had my head down, I was sitting in the back row and I felt a hand on my shoulder. And when I lifted my head and turned around, there was no one there. And it was sort of shocking to me. And I shared that with Ms. Parker and she said, Courtney, that was an angel, you know, telling you to be brave and all that stuff. And so I ended up going to my parents immediately and telling them. It was one of the scariest days of my life, but I got it over with, and they were not mad or anything like that. My dad told me that he was so sorry, and my mother cried, but they were not mad at me at all. They hugged me and loved on me, and it ended up being much easier than I thought it was going to be. So I ended up going and telling my testimony at the banquet, and I thought there was going to be about 40 or 50 people at this thing, and I got there, and there were close to 700 people, and I was terrified. So I went in the bathroom and just started praying. I just got one of the stalls, and I was just praying to the Lord. I was like, oh, my Lord, you've got to give me strength. So I ended up going through with that and giving my testimony, and a couple of the women that were in the audience that day ended up coming and going to the next healing retreat, and I realized it was worth it, and that just sort of started being my motivation. I thought, if I can just help one woman out there get healed, you know, each time, this is worth me going through the terror and the shame of it, you know. But since then, it's gotten easier, and I can share it without crying. I used to always cry when I told my story, and I don't cry anymore, and so it's getting easier every time.
Well, praise God. You know, a lot of times parents may not react that way, and, you know, a lot of times maybe parents pressed for the abortion. They already do know about it, and there's other types of reconciliation that needs to happen. So I don't want to try to throw a blanket over anybody's experience, which might differ from yours or mine, but my parents responded the same way. My dad did not know about the abortion, and he was very compassionate when I shared it with him for the same reason that I was about to go public. So I just encourage anybody listening, you know, get counsel, get help, do that with support, talk to your pastor, talk to a friend who can advise you. And help you, because not every parent is going to be safe to share that with. But it's a blessing to hear how things worked out for you when you shared it in your family, Courtney. And I think,
yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's part of, as you say, God has equipped you. It's part of the way that God will uphold us when He sends us out to do these things. The other thing I want to ask you about in the midst of your story is your husband's exhortation. You know that when you sent me your testimony, you said that when he saw you dealing with your pain and all of the emotion of it, he urged you to own it, which I think is such an interesting thing for him to have said. And I think that it's such a valuable process for us to own it. I know that a lot of my emotional turmoil, well, first of all, a lot of my emotional turmoil was that I didn't have the truth. You know, so I thought that it was unforgivable. I thought, you know, all sorts of wrong things about myself and about God. But the way that I reacted to that emotionally was to try to distance myself from it. I can't believe I did that, and the other ways, or engage in self-destructive behaviors about it, or, you know, as you just spiral down emotionally. What's the value of owning it? Talk about that and what that looks like for somebody who is maybe in that place that you and I were both in, where it wasn't even possible to say the word.
Well, it's very empowering in a way, because once you own it and you admit it, and I'm not saying that everyone needs to stand up in public and admit this. That's not for some people, and I totally respect that. But when you just, you own it, Satan can't use it against you at every corner. It's not, you can't throw that in your face every time. It's kind of like you can hold your head up and be like, yes, I did that. I made a huge mistake, and I'm forgiven. I own it. I made that mistake. And you've taken it to God, and you've asked for forgiveness, and it can't be used against you. The hard part is that there are, as much as, you know, you are definitely outspoken about the pro-life movement, there's people out there that are pro-life and are very hard on the post-abortive women. How
yes.
could you do that? And
yes.
It's so disgusting. And how could anyone do that? And it's very hard when you're trying to deal with it and you know that you could be shunned for it. But I will say this, when I stood up at that banquet in front of the almost 700 people and did that, I couldn't get out of the building that night for people stopping me and hugging me, and I got a standing ovation. Not that my speech was good, but just that I was bold about it. I stood up in front of all those people and cried, telling my story and let them know how painful abortion is afterwards. And I think that once people start realizing really how destructive it is, their perspective on it will be different. And so owning it is just very empowering, like I said, because no one can use it against you anymore. It's like you already know that, you know?
Yeah, that was so well said. And I agree with you that I don't know how to even address the condemnation of people who have had abortions in the pro-life movement. I understand that if a person is unrepentant, they need the law, they need to, you know, have their hearts break. But if someone is repentant and someone understands and they have taken it to the Lord and they do stand forgiven, to heap condemnation on a person like that is so ungodly and really, I think, works against the pro-life cause. If anything were to change today, I would, after having all of the babies saved, I would love to see that change. Courtney Beck is our guest. She's client services leader at Options Pregnancy Center in Cabot, Arkansas. And Courtney, you mentioned that you went through an abortion recovery retreat. And I'd like to have you talk about, you know, as you said, this is what really ignited your faith. This is where you really came to Christ, it sounds like. It sounds like you, you know, sort of grew up in the church, as I, again, from reading your bio, I know that. But you didn't really connect the dots. God hadn't really revealed to you the fullness of Christ. And was it at that retreat that this all came together for you?
Yes, it really was. And I think partly because I was so desperate for something other than what I had been doing. You know, so it's kind of like, I was just holding my hands out. I knew I needed something else. and the way I was trying to heal wasn't working, or if I was even trying to heal, I was just trying to deal with it, you know, trying to run from it. And so when I got to this retreat, I think the thing that stands out the most is that Vicki Parker, who is the executive director of Options Pregnancy Center, was leading it, and she had two other women there helping, Shay Wood and Susan Milligan, and they are in the ministry, and they were leading this retreat, and, you know, I was hearing laughter. We were at this beautiful home out in Scott, Arkansas. We were well taken care of and fed and loved on, and I hear these women that had been healed from this very thing I want healing from laughing, and I hadn't felt real laughter since I was a kid. I remember people in my early 20s, not long after I'd had the abortion, telling me, why don't you ever smile? You never smile. You're always so serious. And it's because I was, you know, just hurting so deeply. And then to go to this and hear these women laughing and having fun, I'm like, that's what I want to be. And I want to get back to that. And that's what really spurred me to dig in. I'm thinking, there's these Christian women and they're having a lot of fun and they've, you know, had sins and things. And I'm like, I want that, because I was thinking I had to be perfect to have a relationship with the Lord. And what I realized that weekend is that I could be forgiven and really turn my life around and still have fun and be a Christian. And that just really inspired me to want that for myself. And I do love to laugh and be lighthearted and take things, you know, lightly and all that stuff. And I'm turning back into who I am, you know, because I think for so long I was just so stuck in hurt and pain and shame. And so it's really, I love being able to get out of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's really good for me.
Amen. You know, I heard somebody recently talking on the radio about an abortion that she did not regret. She said it was the very best thing for her, that she wasn't established in her career. She lived in a studio apartment. The relationship was terrible. So she doesn't ever look back, and it, you know, and it's nothing she should regret, and it's nobody's business why anybody would have an abortion, and that it's wrong to heap shame and stigma on women for exercising their constitutional right. Now, the conversation that you and I have just had about the spiritual journey after abortion looks very different from her story, right? And when we think about this, I want to ask you about that shame and stigma. It kept you silent for 17 years. It robbed you of laughter. How in the world could we have had such a different experience? I mean, I feel like God led me to an answer as I've been pondering this, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Courtney. How in the world could we have such different experiences?
Well, I think you mean different experiences between me and the woman that you heard.
Yeah, someone who's just, you know, completely unmoved by it.
I've thought about that, too. I actually have someone that I know that has had one and doesn't regret it at all, and has told me that she doesn't understand why I'm so sad when all I did was have the, you know, a blob of cells removed from my body, that it's nothing to be sad about. And anyway, yes, we have very different views. So it is a very difficult conversation to have with someone. But what I think it is that, honestly, I feel like it's a place of denial for that person, just so they don't have to deal with it. Because if they really got into the truth of the matter and studied about, even scientifically, even if they don't have a relationship with the Lord or God's creation, if they looked at it scientifically, that is the start of life. It is in medical textbooks. And so I feel like really it's a lie. It's a cover-up. It's a place of mental denial. And what I hate is that they're going to probably be confronted with it someday, somehow, and like me, you know, they're going to look back at these past years, like however many years they've been in denial, and they're going to see that something was really missing from their life. So, I don't know, you know, honestly, that's a really hard question to answer. I just don't know how it can look so different, but I feel like a lot of it is a lie and denial.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I appreciate your answer, and I think you're exactly right that, you know, the one word that I would add to what you said is that abortion is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion is a sin. Not only because scientifically she's mistaken that it was a blob of cells. No, it was a human life from conception forward.
Right.
You know, so you're right. She's lying. And she's in denial of the truth about, you know, what her decision led to. But beyond that, I mean, I think that it's really, you know, not everybody is convicted of their sin at the same time. But whether or not we suffer for our sin emotionally, there's always going to be a consequence for sin.
Yes.
You know, and so the person who says that you telling them it's a sin is you trying to shame them really has no understanding of the way that God works in the world, you know, and in this world and in our hearts. And so, yeah, I like your answer a lot, Courtney, because it is baffling as to how to reach somebody whose heart is hardened to the truth as well as to, you know, the fact that it's a sin because it sheds innocent blood. Abortion takes the life of another human being, and we can't possibly do that and expect to escape the consequences. So now being client services leader, tell me how this works out for you. When you're in are you in counseling sessions with women who are considering abortion? I mean,
yes.
So tell me how those conversations are informed by your experience. Do you bring your experience into those conversations, or is it more just doing some listening and pointing them to resources?
I do both. I listen first, and then I really honestly just try to rely on the Holy Spirit, letting me know when or if I need to share my testimony, because I certainly don't want to get someone in there and scare them or them feel shame, because, you know, some of the girls that come in the center don't have a relationship with Christ, and I don't want to put them in a position where they think, well, I don't know the Lord, and so then they're not responsible or accountable. So I don't know. I really just have to figure out where they're at first, so I listen to them. And then, you know, depending on where they are with it, I will absolutely share, you know, resources and information about the risks and procedures of abortion. And I also share with them what adoption would look like and parenting, and I offer them all of our resources for the center. And then there's often times where I do feel led to share part of my testimony, or at least use it in a way to relate to them. And that, you know, especially if they're young, be like, you know, I can relate to your terror and your fear. And but let me tell you, I was young once and found myself pregnant, and I didn't go to a pregnancy care resource center. I don't even know that that existed then. But, you know, I just let them know that I'll be there for them. And really, I let them know I'll be there for them no matter what they choose. I want them to have support. Because what I have also found is that young women will go and have these abortions, you know, just spontaneously, and then they become suicidal, and they don't have anyone. It's a downward spiral. But I want them to know the truth of abortion, and that they will suffer emotionally from it, and that what they're hearing in the media about it just being this medical procedure, and, you know, you just pop in there and pop out and everything's all good, that's not true. They are at risk of a lot of, you know, physical things and emotional things, and I share all that with them. I feel like women need to know the truth. They deserve to know the truth. All of us women do. And it's discounted by people that are pro-choice. So mm-hmm. I really just listen to them first and see where they're at.
Well, and I hope everyone listening to this program understands the good work being done in pregnancy help centers, and I hope everybody listening to this program is supporting a local pregnancy center or one of the parent organizations like CareNet or Heartbeat or Birthright. There are so many good organizations doing such good work, just like our guest Courtney Beck, who is the client services leader of Options Pregnancy Center in Cabot, Arkansas. So, Courtney, tell me, I want to give you a chance to share. We've just got a few minutes remaining, but I want to give you a chance to share one or two key scriptures that have helped you, whether on your journey of healing after abortion or in the work that you're doing today, now that you're standing on faith in Jesus Christ.
The Bible verse that I love that's really helped me through this whole healing process is Psalm 34:5, and it reads, "Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame." I really feel that the more that I look to the Lord and seek his truth and his presence in my life, that I really combat the shame of the sin and the condemnation that I feel that comes from Satan sometimes.
That is a wonderful verse. And I must tell you, I don't know that you, if you were aware of this, but Norma McCorvey said that that was the verse that really gave her hope when she was trying to undo all the damage that had been done in the Roe v. Wade decision. She said, how can I face God knowing I participated in that becoming a law? But that verse had released her from that shame, Psalm 34:5. So that's beautiful that you bring that forward to us. You know, I was very definitive in saying that abortion is sin, but that's good news because we know what the remedy is, that it's been paid for in full through our sacrifice, through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Courtney, I'm so glad that you know him, and I'm so glad that it's freed you to share your story with us.
Yes, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
God bless you, and I hope that your work continues for a good long while at Options Pregnancy Center.
Okay, and I feel the same for you. Thanks for all you're doing. I really am grateful to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio. Join us.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. Boy, I hope you had a chance to listen to our featured interview with Courtney Beck, because the strong witness that she gives to the healing power of the truth and the love of Jesus Christ is just an amazing blessing. And I have to tell you, I was very surprised that, well, okay, last week, and this is nothing, this is not a reflection on the value of either guest. It's just a surprising reaction on my part to the audience reaction. The week before Courtney's testimony, Kevin and Sam Sorbo were our guests. They're movie stars, bona fide heroes in the pro-life cause. Kevin Sorbo has been speaking out on behalf of pregnancy centers for their annual fundraisers for a number of years. And Sam Sorbo stands for the truth on her live radio broadcasts. I mean, they're very well known and very well regarded guests. That, and it was like a really exciting for me to be able to have them on the program. And then we had Courtney on, and when I asked Courtney for her bio, you know, she said, well, I'm the lead client services director at Options Pregnancy Center in Cabot, Arkansas, and I was in cosmetology for 15 years before that. And so, I mean, that's a great resume too. Praise God for what he has brought her through. But in terms of who would be a draw to draw audience in, most people would think it was going to be the Sorbos, but our website and social media exploded. And I don't know if it has to do with Courtney's countenance, because we put her picture on the blog post about the interview. I can't tell you exactly why, but people were very, very pleased to learn more about Courtney's story. And it's such a God-honoring story, and it's such a hopeful story for those of us who have been impacted by abortion. So if you missed it, be sure to visit cradlemyheart.org. Later this week, we'll have the podcast posted for you so you can catch it and benefit from it. And one of the things that I really liked about this interview is that we brought forth the reality that abortion is a sin. Now, this has been a bone of contention. I guess maybe it was 2 weeks ago, maybe already, nine days ago, when Carl Lentz, pastor of Hillsong, went on The View to promote his book, Own the Moment, and was asked a very direct question by Joy Behar: is abortion a sin in your church? And a lot of people who are regular viewers of that program or who follow it say that, you know, the hosts on the program are very hostile toward the pro-life view. They're very adept at, you know, doing the gotcha question and trapping people into saying something that they regret later. So those who are mindful of that are perhaps using that as a reason to defend Carl Lentz's response, because he didn't answer. He didn't say abortion is a sin. He said, we want to talk with you and find out who you are before we start talking about your sins. He spoke about relationship and he spoke about grace. And many people said that, you know, he was trying to win souls rather than preach. And that's appropriate when you're talking to someone who's not a believer and you don't know who's in your audience, that you try to win souls rather than to speak truth or preach or give the gospel or answer the way Jesus would answer a direct question. Anyway, so I put it up on my Facebook profile, which is public. You can find me on Facebook at Kim Cotola. Our program page is at Cradle My Heart. But I put it up there on my profile because I get people who are not necessarily pro-life on my profile. Lots of, you know, people from all various places that I'm friends with, not many of them not Christians. So I said, well, so how would you answer a non-Christian who says, is abortion a sin in your church? I don't really want to hear your opinion about Joy Behar. I really don't want to hear your opinion about Pastor Carl Lentz. He got roasted on Twitter and elsewhere for the way that he responded, and many people came to his defense as well. So it's really immaterial as to what my opinion is about him. But it really made me think, you know, okay, this is a person who doesn't know Jesus. They're a non-believer. They may even be hostile to Jesus. And they ask me, is abortion a sin in your church? So I asked folks, you know, how would you answer to a non-believer? And my favorite answers were people who said, I would say yes, just and then stop talking. 1-800-811-3003. I want to hear from you. What would you say? And I don't take a lot of time to ponder it and to look up verses. This is your moment. You know, here's your chance. What is your first answer? 1-800-811-3003. And I promise you, I'm not going to be hostile toward you, and I don't want to take the opportunity to necessarily play devil's advocate. My interest here is that iron would sharpen iron, that we'd be able to learn from each other. 1-800-811-3003. I have not always represented Jesus well in answering questions like this. I was once misquoted in the newspaper about whether I was pro-life or pro-choice. And a great deal of harm came because of the way that I answered a question. And so I think it's really helpful for us to think this through ahead of time and have an answer ready. Is abortion a sin in your church? 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. How would you answer someone who was not a believer in Jesus Christ? 1-800-811-3003. So while you're getting to the phone, I'll just tell you this too. Someone challenged me recently. I said that I was going somewhere and that I had to sign off the call because I was about to hop into my Uber. And I think that's so rude when you initiate contact with someone and you're on the phone. I'm like, I gotta go. And the person said, okay, I led three Uber drivers to the Lord last week. This person travels a lot. He said, challenge on. I'm like, oh my goodness, I am not in that habit. I mean, I don't shy away from conversations, but he issued me a direct challenge. So I thought, well, here we go. So I said to the man, I can't remember what my opening question was, but anyway, he said, all the great religious texts of every faith in the world all point to the same thing, that we would have love and understanding. And I said, well, the Bible, the sacred text about Jesus Christ, says that he came to forgive the world of sin, not for love and understanding. And he said, oh, that's human mistakes, and everyone makes mistakes. And he refused to acknowledge the presence of sin or the seriousness of it. And the conversation didn't go very far after that. And, you know, I'm one who practices diplomacy, not D-Day, in my apologetics. So I hope that I left him with some things to think about. I think it was very important to correct him about what the message of the Bible is, what the message of the life of Jesus Christ is. And to me, it's an extraordinary thing to ponder that what the world needs. We need freedom from illness. We need freedom from poverty. We need the world's needs weigh so heavy on us. He could have come to wipe out all of those things, but he came to forgive the world of sin. 1-800-811-3003. So that points you in where my answer might go if someone asked me directly, is abortion a sin in your church? And I'd love to hear how you would answer. 1-800-811-3003. And let's go to the phones and we'll say hi to Ron, listening on Faith Radio in Brooklyn Park on KTIS. Hi, Ron. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hey, thanks a lot. I spend a lot of time listening to you guys as I travel back and forth through town. Well, my answer to that question, taking any life is a sin. God promotes life. You don't take away life.
Okay. And so what if the person says, you know, the Bible is just an antiquated book. Sure, you do believe that, but what about women's rights? I mean, I don't watch The View regularly, but I know they generally tend to go there, that they have, you know, this overdeveloped compassion for women. And I'm a woman, so I don't think it's unfair for me to say that. You know, that is that if you're not in favor of reproductive rights or however they've framed it, that you hate women. That you were trying to shame women, Ron, by saying that it's a sin. How do you answer the blowback when you give a very direct answer like that to someone who's not spirit-led?
Well, do I have a decision to take somebody else's life, no matter if it's in me or not? No, I don't.
Don't have to be a believer to see truth, right?
Right. God is about truth. We do serve a God of truth and honesty. You don't lie. Mm. I trust the truth.
Mm. I like
so
it.
If women have the right to choose to give life or take away life, then men should have that opportunity too then. But we don't live in that kind of world. So we shouldn't have the decision between do we take life or do we give life. That's a thing for God. I got two children of my own. And one time my girlfriend at the time, we weren't married, having a kid, and she said I had an abortion. I'm like, what? I was ready to do something stupid, but I'm just, she's like, well, I just said that to see how you'd react. You know, and yeah, it's just, you know, every life is precious.
So she didn't actually have an abortion?
No, she didn't. She just said that to see how I'd react.
Wow. How did it describe your actual, what happened in your heart when you heard that, when you thought it was true?
I wanted to do something that is not a Christian, what they do, you know? And it just, the enemy rose up in me, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And she just said, well, to stop everything what I was going to do, and she said, well, I just said that to see how you'd react, and I'll see how you'd react.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that it didn't, that was not the case. And I appreciate your straightforward and bold answer, because I think, you know, if we concern ourselves with someone trying to trap us and then we deprive them of the truth, no one gets served. No, you know, the persons who are looking on, the bystanders, sometimes they're the most important people, because even if it appears that you've lost an argument, if you've spoken truth, it lands on the bystanders, right? So I think your answer is a great one, Ron. Thank you for calling to share your story with us. Thanks for being with us.
No problem. My pleasure. You guys keep spreading the truth.
Oh, I'm glad you're listening. Appreciate it. It's time for a short break, and we'll give you a chance to get to the call, to the phone and answer our question. How would you answer a non-believer who asked you, is abortion a sin in your church? Let's take some time for iron to sharpen iron here at Cradle My Heart Radio. 1-800-811-3003. Call now.
a safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
We are live and we're taking your calls asking, how would you answer a non-believer who asked you if abortion is a sin in your church? And we'll make some assumptions. We'll say that this person has been known to be hostile to a Christian worldview, has been known to dispute what Christians have to say, even about Christianity. And with those things in mind, how would you answer in a way that, I won't put any other condition on it. 1-800-811-3003. And let's go back to the phones and say hi to Ann, who's listening also on KTIS, our faith radio affiliate in Minneapolis, Brooklyn Center. Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Okay. You know, my response to them would be what kind of answer are you looking for? Because they already know where they stand on this, and they've already made judgments. So basically, I'd ask them, what kind of answer are you looking for? Because they might be looking to argue with you or to affirm what they believe about Christians, you know? So you put it back to them.
Okay, and so what if they say, well, I mean, how do you feel about women and a woman who's not in any position to raise a child? Maybe she's poor, or maybe she's a student, or maybe her parents have threatened to kick her out. Is abortion a sin in those circumstances?
How about you're talking to a mom who's single-parented, six kids, in below-poverty-level income, for one. I had to put my husband out on a restraining order. The last child that I was carrying, he said, we need to abort this one. And I just walked away. And one day I looked him square in the eye, because he'd said this more than once. I looked him square in the eye and I said, you know, I had to make joke of it, because otherwise it would not go well. And I said, so if you don't stop this, I'm going to call New Life Homes and cattle on you. And he went upstairs in our townhouse, and for 2 hours, I figured he went and laid down, because when you can't handle stuff, that's pretty much what he did. He came down 2 hours later, and evidently he had called them and apologized. And he cried when that youngest one of ours was born. But that didn't change all the other things that were going on in the house. And I needed to put him out on a restraining order so that me and the kids would be okay. But, no, you don't always choose the circumstances you live in. You make your choice because of, you're single. If you choose to have sex, you know that you're taking the chance that you might get pregnant. You've already made your choice there. The choice of taking the life doesn't belong to you. Life, whether life or death, those belong to God.
Well, I think that they would have been very surprised at your answer, as I was. And thank you for opening up and sharing that story. It's very powerful, Anne. And I hope that God has used you to share that story with many, because, wow, that would shut the mouth of a lion, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, God gives us each chunk of land to walk. And he doesn't say it's not going to have potholes, and it doesn't say that it isn't going to be all uphill with weeds, you know. He just says that he'll go with us. And
beautiful.
So this is a chunk of ground I've got to walk, and I've got six kids out of it. Youngest one now is 29, and the oldest one 41. I have some grandchildren with this, and I love my kids. I don't necessarily like some of the choices they've made. But that doesn't change the fact that I love them, and they're mine, you know. And they know where they stand on that one.
Beautiful.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You're a light, Anne. Thanks for your call. 1-800-811-3003. So as I'm pondering this, you know, sin, that if this is the reason that Jesus came, and someone asks me, who doesn't know Jesus, about sin. You know, what do, Anne's right, what do you know about sin? What's the purpose of your question? You know, because the word tells us we all have the moral law written on our hearts. We all have a conscience. We may not call it sin, but we all know right from wrong, we hope, unless, you know, we're a predator or have some sort of a mental impairment. Sin is why Jesus came. It's the universal problem. And problem doesn't begin to say it because, of course, the outcome from sin is death. And if you look to what Jesus said, and you know, when someone doesn't believe in Jesus, is it wise to just use his words with them? Well, many that he spoke with were not believers, right? Do we trust his words? Or do we feel we have to come up with something new, better, improved? It's foolish when you start putting it on those terms, right? But I think about what Jesus said in John 3, is, you know, that famous verse at 16. Here he's teaching Nicodemus, who's a Jewish believer, of course, and a Pharisee. And he says to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And at 17, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it." To save it from what? From sin, of course. He goes on in verse 18, "There is no eternal doom awaiting those who trust him to save them," again, parentheses, "from their sin. But those who don't trust him have already been tried and condemned for not believing in the only Son of God." He says their sentence is based on this fact, that the light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their deeds were evil. They hated the heavenly light because they wanted to sin in the darkness. They stayed away from that light for fear their sins would be exposed and they'd be punished. But those doing right come gladly to the light to let everyone see that they are doing what God wants them to. That's from the Living Bible, John 3. Wow, what if his words were on our lips? How can a person refute what Jesus has said? You know, and I know that often the reason that people, one of the other reasons people might be reluctant to give a direct and clear answer about sin might be, and some have said that this is what Carl Lentz, Pastor Lentz's concern was, might be a concern out of sensitivity for those listening and overhearing who have been impacted by abortion and who may be broken by it, right? So if a heart is hard and ignorant of sin, you have to make them aware of sin. But if a heart is broken because of the, you know, conviction of the Holy Spirit regarding their sin, then yes, we speak to them with kindness. I love this from Francis Chan, the beginning of a sermon that he talked about, you know, the fact that abortion is wrong, but how we approach it in light of those who are suffering because of it.
Everyone is created in God's image, and every life matters. Even life that is in the womb still is still in God's eyes a life. And I want to read a couple verses from Scripture about this, but before I do that, let me just say this. Obviously, in a room this size, there are some of you here who have had abortions. And some of you guys who have impregnated women and told them to have abortions. And what I'm about to say is not by any means to bring back the guilt or the pain of that. If you have confessed that to God, if you have confessed that sin to God, he has forgiven you 100%, okay? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so understand, you are cleansed. In fact, in Isaiah 43, he says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." Understand, okay, if you've had an abortion or have asked someone to get an abortion, if you repented before God, you're clean, okay? Well, I'm not trying to bring back any past hurts or whatever else. You are completely forgiven. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise, okay? That is not an impardonable sin. What I'm about to say now is for those who may contemplate abortion in the future. that may think that, you know what, God doesn't care, it's not really a life, you're absolutely wrong. Okay, it is absolutely wrong in God's eyes. You read passages in Scripture.
He went on to talk about, Francis Chan went on to talk about Psalm 139 and the verses in Jeremiah that show that not only does life begin with conception, but life begins before conception in the mind of God. And that he knows us so intimately as he knits us together in our mother's wombs. You know, this is the theology of life that teaches us that abortion is wrong because all life, as Jeff said, our first caller, all life belongs to God. And I love Francis Chan's affirmation that we are forgiven. And it's only when we know that we've sinned that we know the great gift made available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us freely on the cross, that all sinners need and that all may freely receive. And if you never have, I pray that you will, and not be languishing in sin or thrashing in doubt any longer. Thanks so much for being with us. Email us if you'd like to know more, kim@cradlemyheart.org. We'll be here next week. Hope you will be too. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.